Well, it's great to see you all again. Thanks so much for coming. We're excited to join together. We have a video about thankfulness and a testimony from someone, from a couple in our church. Let's hear how what they're thankful about this year.
Hi, my name is David Ray.
And I'm Cassandra Ray, and I'm also our receptionist here at Auburn Grace Community Church.
I have been in the Auburn area for quite a few years and attended other churches. And when Cassandra and I moved temporarily to Indiana and then back, we really wanted to find a community that was ours together and that we could join together. So we had looked at a couple different places, and God just provided an opportunity of just the job that Cassandra has now, of just kind of falling into our laps in a way of her to pursue that. And once she interviewed, we kind of felt like this is the place that we should be and we want to be. And it's just been a really cool process ever since, just seeing how things have unfolded here.
Yeah, we've definitely been super encouraged to be part of this community. We have started serving with our Connect Point team at Auburn Grace, and that's kind of like the welcome team. And so we're out there in between services on Sunday mornings, I think right now just during second service, but there to just see people and welcome them and make them feel loved and invited in and help them get connected to Auburn Grace. And it's that part has been really cool. It's definitely given us the opportunity to meet new people and make deeper connections and feel like we're part of the church here.
Yeah, it's been really fun to be a part of that, just in a way of like we're out there greeting and people are, hey, what are you guys doing? Or they come seek us out and just ask about the church, or we get to meet new people every week and hand out welcome packets. And it's just it's really cool that people feel welcomed. And I think this church, knowing from experience, does this as a community. So just being a part of a team that is specifically doing that on behalf of the church has been really cool.
Yeah, it's been a good year just to see how God has provided constantly. Like, we've talked a lot about how we couldn't have really written this year out for us. And our first year of marriage was really rough, and not actually in the typical ways you'd expect, but more just circumstantially with things going on around us. And so this year has brought just so much to be grateful for, from housing to jobs to friendships and community. And Auburn Grace has played a huge role in that. And we're just really grateful to be here.
Yeah, we're just thankful for God's provision of just providing so many opportunities and so many new friendships and people in our lives that, like I said, we could not have planned this year out at any point. And God had already planned it out, and it's been really cool, and we're really grateful for the people here, both the people that Cassandra works for, but also just the people that we've met that are a part of this community.
Cassandra said in that tape that she is really thankful for most of the people that she works with. She's our church receptionist, so I'm not sure who she was referring to that she wasn't so grateful to be working with. I'll have to ask her about that tomorrow. Hey, if you happen to bring your Bible or you have access to your app, we're going to go to Psalm chapter 95 tonight. If you open your Bible to the middle, you usually hit the book of Psalms. It's just 150-something songs that the ancient people wrote. And there's a cluster of songs within the 150 that were songs of invitation. When it was the Sabbath day in the ancient world, and you had to walk uphill to go to the place of worship, because in Jerusalem, the place of worship was at the top of the hill, so everybody had to leave their homes and walk up to the top of the hill to worship, and they would walk up the steps of the temple, and they had songs that they would sing as they were walking up. And in Psalm chapter 92 to chapter 98, there's a cluster of these invitation songs that the ancient people would sing as they were walking up to the place of worship. And in chapter 95, there's a really wonderful psalm that talks about this Thanksgiving. And this cluster, and this one specifically, is called an invitation song. We are inviting you to sing a song of Thanksgiving. And so I thought we would take just a couple of minutes and we would look at this psalm to see what it has to tell us about this season of our culture of Thanksgiving and how we can participate in that. So verse 1, you'll notice it says, "Oh, come, let us sing joy to the Lord." The idea of wherever you're at, come on over here. You'll notice in verse 2, it also repeats itself. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. So you can see it's an invitation. Hey, wherever you're at, come on over here. It's as if the author took a big piece of chalk and wrote a big circumference on the ground. And he said, this is the circle of thanksgiving and gratitude. And then he's inviting people to come into the circle and to spend some time giving thanks. And he says it there in such a way that he describes what thankfulness looks like. This is so cool. Verse 1, it says, oh, come, let us what? Sing for joy to the Lord. And then end of verse 1, let us what? Shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Verse 2, let's come before his presence with thanksgiving. And let's shout joyfully to him with psalms. So the first thing that we know that thanksgiving looks like is that it's loud in the circle. Twice he says to shout joyfully to the Lord. In the circle of thanksgiving, it's not a contemplative place. It's not a quiet place. Because thanksgiving, unless it's expressed, isn't reaching its full potential and purpose. I can be at home and be grateful in my heart. I can even say some prayers of gratitude. But he's talking about, hey, let's all jump into this circle. And when we jump into this circle, let's be loud about it. So I'm going to do the same thing here that I did this morning. We're going to get loud just for a moment, okay? I want us to say, God is good, God is great, as loud as you can. You ready? One, two, three.
God is good, God is great.
Okay, that's the circle of gratitude. It's not quiet. Let's try it again. If you're 60 years old or over, here's your shot right here. You can be as loud as you want in church. I know in your generation, my generation, is to be quiet in church. I want you to be loud in church tonight. If you're 60 plus, God is good, God is great, as best you can. Ready? One, two, three.
God is good. God is great.
Wow, way to go. That extra hour of sleep really did something, gave you some vitality there. That's awesome. All right, let's say 25 to 60, okay? If your age is 25 to 60, this is your shot. This is your chance. You ready? One, two, three.
God is good. God is great.
Oh, way to go, way to go. And I see some younger ones here. 0 to 25, you ready? 0 to 25. One, two, three.
God is good.
Way to go. Give them a hand. Nicely done. Nicely done. But when we go into this circle, this place of thanksgiving, the author here says it should be expressed. It should be joyful. It should be loud. The other thing that he says in verses 1 and 2, it's that it should have words of thanksgiving and songs of gratitude. Songs of gratitude. So that's what thankfulness looks like. And as he goes on in this psalm, verses 3 down through verse 7, he connects or links thankfulness to a person. It's interesting, in our culture today or in our lives, we tend to link thankfulness to a what. This is what happened, so I'm thankful. But in this particular psalm, he's not linking thankfulness to a what in life. He's linking thankfulness to a who in life. Look what he says there in verse 3. For the Lord is a great God. There's reason number one. The reason that we can shout for thankfulness is because God is a great God. Amen? He said, listen how he describes him. He says there in verse 3, and he's a great king above all the gods, small g. There's no comparison. He says there in verse 4, in whose hand are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountain are also his, the sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. It's interesting, somebody a while ago gave me this little globe of the earth, and it sits on my desk, and it reminds me of God's grandness. This verse is this section is telling us that our God is a great God, and he can hold all of the continents. He can hold all of the mountaintops in the depths of the sea. He can hold the cosmos. And it says here, he holds it in one hand. That describes the enormity, the grandness, the greatness of God. And that's why we're thankful, because I'm over here on this particular continent in Auburn, California, and I've got some big problems, and sometimes I wonder, can God really handle my problems? And this psalmist says, well, if he can handle this in one hand, what do you think he could do with the other hand? He could help. He could help. He's a God who helps, because he's so great. He's so grand. That's why verse 6 says, because of how great he is, come, let us worship him, bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. He made us. He formed us. But the second reason that he is such a great God is, I mean, he's on a list of one. We know that there's no one like him. He holds the whole earth in his hand. We know that we should have a physical posture of gratitude. The reason number two that we have this link to who we're grateful for is not only is that he a great God, but he is what? He's our God. Look at verse 7. This great God that's described says, for he is what? Our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. If you study history of religions, there aren't many gods that are portrayed. In fact, I would argue there's no God like this God. Because in the history of religions, many times, the God is set up as a deity, and all humanity is just a one-sided relationship of service. Sometimes we have gods that are described to us as they come down and rule over us, and there's no response. There's no two-way relationship. But you'll notice in this verse 7, he is our God, and we are his. The relationship that we have with the God of the Bible is a two-way relationship. He's not distant and obscure. He doesn't just walk away from us. He doesn't just demand our servitude without giving us anything in response. This is a two-way relationship. And so this psalmist is saying, man, let's jump in the circle of gratitude and thankfulness because our God is a great God, and he's worthy to be thanked and praised. And our God is a personal God. He is our God, and we are his. So it's just a great thought there about the goodness and greatness of God. But what's interesting is that he closes out this song talking about how thankfulness is lost. Sometimes in our lives, we're in the circle of gratitude and we feel really grateful, but then we find ourselves a little while later outside of the circle. And what happened? How did we move from inside the circle to outside the circle? Where now we're not grateful. We're not feeling gratitude. Look what he says here. He says today, verse end of verse 7, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your what? Your hearts. Boy, today in our culture and today in life, isn't it easy to just get tired of the difficulties? To get tired of all the confusion? To get tired of all of the battles that are taking place? And if we're not careful, our heart can start to get hard. And we step outside of the circle of thankfulness, and we forfeit a soft and trusting heart. He says, don't harden your hearts like they did at Meribah and on the day of Massah in the wilderness. What he's talking about is in the book of Exodus, way back in the time of Moses, God took the people of Israel and he rescued them from Egypt slavery, and he brought them through the miracle of the Red Sea, and he was taking them on their way to the promised land. And it took them 40 years in the wilderness, and God was making them wait because whenever they got into trouble, they would immediately leave the circle of gratitude and they would start complaining. And the words here, it says that they tested God and they tried God, which means that they got mad at God and they chided with God. And God says there, even though they had seen all my work. In other words, that generation that was in the wilderness, they saw God's rescue through Moses out of Egypt. They witnessed walking through the Red Sea. They saw how God provided food for them, had provided water for them, had protected them from the enemies of the wilderness. But whenever life got hard, whenever they got overly thirsty, whenever they were in need, they immediately jumped out of the circle of gratitude and they began to complain and test God. He says in verse 10, for 40 years, that generation did that because they erred in their heart and they didn't know my ways. So they're not going to enter into my rest. And they became a generation of testers and complainers. And it's a challenge for us today to stay inside the circle of gratitude, because it's easy to slip out and to slip into the kind of heart that is testing and complaining. So this psalm is an invitation to jump into this circle of gratitude. Come, wherever you're at, don't forget to spend time in the circle. And I just want to encourage us over the next couple of weeks as we enter into the Thanksgiving season that we don't miss out on the opportunity to spend some time in the circle of thankfulness. And inside that circle, it's loud because it's supposed to be expressive. It's with other people. So let me encourage you, as you go through the holidays these next few weeks and as you're gathering with friends, make sure that your heart and your words are expressing thankfulness and gratitude. And let's make sure we don't forget that our God is a great God and that our God is our God. He is for us and we are with him. So those two truths help us remember how great our God is. And it's an invitation to spend a season of thanksgiving. Now, instead of me having a prayer right now of thanksgiving, as I usually do at the end of a little message like this, I'm going to toss it back out to you. And this is what I'm thinking. We're going to try just for the next couple of minutes, if one person at your table will just volunteer to say a prayer of thanksgiving at your table. If it's not you, that's not you, that's fine. But somebody, just one person, we'll take a couple of minutes, and one person at your table, let's all just for a moment bow our heads, let's just ask God and thank him. It's just one person at your table, say a prayer of thanksgiving at your table, okay? You choose who it is. Let's take the next minute or so to take place. You ready? Let's set go. Okay, we got it? All right, this last segment of our program, we want to shift gears just a little bit before we have our meal together. I just want us to get a report on some great things that God is doing. That, as you know, we've been working through this project called All In. If you don't know, it's a very simple 3-year project that our church is engaged in. We're trying to accomplish 3 projects. One is to send a missionary onto the field to tell the world about Jesus. And we accomplished that when we sent the Mallorys to Osaka, Japan. So that was one of the projects. There's his mom, her mom and dad right over there. So we've accomplished that. The second project is to start a church somewhere, help a church get launched. We're working on that. That's taken a little bit longer than what we expected, but God's going to show us the way. And the third project was that we would start Grace Park, that we would get the permits to build a park. If you don't know, the Lord opened this crazy, miraculous door in 2006, and we were able to purchase the 6 acres right here next to us. We have the dream of using it to reach and have a gift to our community of a park where there'll be sports and kids and walking paths and bocce ball, and our community is going to be coming to this park, and we have an opportunity to build relationships and friendships with them. So those are the three projects that we've been working on the last 2 years, actually 2.5 years. There's only six or seven more months in All In project, and we're hoping to get all three done by the end of June of next year. But I wanted to give you an update on these projects. And so I'm going to have the two leaders from our Grace Park project, Chuck and Kevin, come on up. I'm going to ask them some questions about where we are when it comes to Grace Park, the 6 acres over there. But before we start, I want us to show a video of why we as a staff are excited about the opportunity to have a park as part of a church program. Because I want us to not just see the construction side, but how does dirt actually help us tell other people about Jesus? And so let's watch this video and then we'll give you a report.
Nothing builds community better than activity. Whether it's an athletic event, whether it's an outdoor concert, whether it's the opportunity to walk around a facility, to pray, to fellowship, community is built through activity. When I got to Auburn Grace, I was attracted to the idea of connecting for the point of growth in Christ. And from that position, we serve. Grace Park provides us with this perfect opportunity to connect people from the community with our community to bring about growth in the knowledge of who the Lord is, what He has done for us, who we are before Him. And so I am excited beyond belief about the prospects of our community connecting and growing, and for us to have the opportunity to serve that community through Grace Park.
One of the things that I am most looking forward to being able to open up Grace Park is just the capacity that the park is going to be providing to have a prayer walk that's going to actually end up in a prayer garden. And something that the Lord has really put it on my heart is just the need for our community to be praying for those that are lost within our community that don't know the love of Jesus Christ. And so I just feel like this is such a great opportunity for just everyone that knows the Lord in this community, not just those that attend Auburn Grace, but those that attend any local church as part of the global church, that we can come to this park and we can take a walk and be mindful and prayerful and just sit in the Lord's beauty and be able to pray over our communities, our schools, our government. And I think that's really where we're going to see change happen. So I'm super excited that we're going to have that component to the Grace Park. And I think that's going to be such a game changer for our community.
I'm really looking forward to Grace Park being a part of our church campus, because having a playground is like a magnet for conversations and kids, because moms bring their kids there and it's just a place where you can hang out, let the kids play, and adult conversation can happen, which is a great aspect of ministries. Just getting to know people and then people from the community showing up there and becoming involved in those conversations and getting to know each other. And then the church just being right here ends up being a place where you can invite people to come into the doors of our building. Well, we know that we're really the church. And so wherever we go, we are the church. So right across on the other side of our campus is just prime real estate for inviting people into relationship with Jesus.
When I think of building a place like Grace Park in the Auburn community, I think we have a unique opportunity to be a light to everyone around us. You know, when we think about Auburn, we think about a community that's active, that's outdoors, whether it's going to a game, maybe it's hiking, maybe it's just spending time with their family. But Auburn is just known for outdoor activities, and Grace Park offers this unique opportunity to reach out to those all around us. You know, I saw this actually take place at a previous church that I was a pastor at in North Carolina. We were able to build a field, and we even built a gym structure, and we were able to offer different things to people in the community, whether it was sports, soccer, flag football, basketball. And it was amazing to see how the community came to these type of events. We offered these programs, and people that never would have come to the church in the first place came to watch their child play. Grandparents came to watch their grandkids play. And while they were there, they saw a group of believers acting normal, cheering on people as they were playing games. And they also were presented with the gospel. And through that, not only did we see people that came to church for the first time, but we saw people give their life to Christ. And it was amazing to see the impact that it had on our community. And I truly, truly believe that Auburn Grace has that same opportunity right here within our grasp here in the Auburn area.
Well, this is Kevin Ziegemeier. Kevin's been with us. Kevin's and I've been working together on this project since the very beginning, and God truly did give us that property in a miraculous way, or allowed us to purchase in a miraculous way. You continue to see the hand, the fingerprint of God on the process leading up to today?
Yes, absolutely. I call it the dream team, but the folks that are now advocating with us, the professionals that it's their day job to advance a project like this through entitlement, some coming right out of our own fellowship, again, they're professionally equipped to do this and going well beyond their professional obligation, if you will, as a consultant, because they also believe in it. They're part of our family, and they want to come and see Grace Park to fruition.
Yeah, that's great. And this is Chuck Townsend, one of our elders here. Okay, we can give Chuck a hand. Chuck, remind us, what's the vision of the Grace Park?
Well, we want to offer a wide range of recreational activities to our community, to both families and individuals. We also want to incorporate into our design things that will be attractive to families and allowing people to come to the park, make it a magnet for activities and just a joyful place to be.
And what are some of the goals that we have?
Well, we want to build a park that is that demonstrates Christ's love. We want to build a place that will be a great addition to Auburn Grace itself. We want to offer a positive atmosphere for our community. We want to attract the sports teams in the area, allowing such as the Placer High School or that other Bear River or whatever.
Yeah. Only Placer, because I'm a graduate of Placer. Well, we're not letting the other schools not, on our campus.
Okay.
No, not
well,
a
not
chance.
Even not Forest a, Lake Christian.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe Forest Lake we'll let on there. Kevin, here's a diagram. Give us a quick overview of what we expect. You know, this is obviously a topography map, but what's on here? Show us what we got here.
Sure. As you start at the corner of Olympic and Bell, that's the point of entry when you come to the church off of Bell. That corner is going to be the pool of a flag-shaped parcel, the largest portion, of course, being across the canal. We're going to leave that mostly untouched, but we do have to widen Bell Road, the south line, to create an acceleration lane from our new parking at Grace Park to the intersection of Olympic and Bell, so that entire length will have curb, gutter, sidewalk, just like the north side. So we're really going to frame our campus. It's going to be inviting from the time you travel along Bell Road. You'll see and identify with the new improvements. And the centerpiece will, of course, be the multi-sport field that you observe. We'll be able to do a lot of sports events at that venue. Just above it, you see a lawn that's terraced to allow for amphitheater seating where we can invite people for. We used to go to the library for our 4th of July. We'll have them here at Grace Park. Opportunities to open up to the community for even additional concerts throughout the year. We have a smaller venue than when you travel down toward the campus, our campus, in the corner at the bottom. A smaller venue that we hope to offer an affordable and attractive setting for weddings and just anniversaries and special events for the community. We're gonna set a perimeter around the entire park, and you've heard of it. It was spoken of, the prayer path, that when you, part of this family, and we invite obviously the family at large that was also mentioned by staff members, you walk or jog the perimeter, you have an opportunity to see young families or students or young athletes and pray for the next generation. We're praying for opportunities to develop a relationship and introduce them to Christ.
Yeah, that's great. And here's a first shot at a list of all that we could do there. Picnics and children's playgrounds, soccer, bocce ball, birthday parties, venues, exercise stations, all kinds of things for all ages. You know, across the street, they're building 858 senior units to live in, and we want them to be able to enjoy the park as well. And so we're creating venues that allow for that to take place. Now, Chuck, as we move forward with the project, what are some of the current activities that have happened in the process of getting the permits?
So we've been to the county. We've talked to the county. We've talked to architects, designers, civil engineers. We have talked to the environmental folks, and we have been building reports that the county is required. We went to the county, and one of the things that we heard as we came in is from our neighbors, we want this park. That was very, very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And so we, ahead of us, once we have all the plans firmed up, we want to be able to communicate to our neighbors what's ahead, encourage and give them the information. We want their support for what we're doing. So far, it's been pretty exciting that the county welcomed us with, your neighbors want this park.
That's great. And some of the things that we know, like some of the things they've already told us that are big challenges over there or big parts of it. What are some things that we know?
Well, as Kevin has described, we're going to do curb gutter sidewalks along Bell Road. Now, if you look at Bell Road, it's not a very wide road. So, and there's a ditch. And so one of the things we're probably going to have to do, no, we are going to do it, we're going to have to cover the ditch along Bell Road.
That's the NID canal, you mean?
Yes, the NID canal. Yeah. And so that will be one of the items we're going to have to do. Yeah. One of the things we're concerned about is there's utility lines along Bell Road. We don't want to be burying utility lines. So pray for us on that particular item. So other things we know is that we probably will have to bury the entire ditch. That's a good thing, and it's going to be an expensive thing as well. So pray for us on that, that we can get that done as well. So that's...
And then the upcoming schedule, Kevin, you guys have laid out kind of a schedule of where we're going this next year with the goal of getting permits. Kind of walk us through that.
Sure. We had to assemble a team. When we did a pre-development meeting with the county, they gave us a package that identified the list of things they required of us for this submittal. So we're working off that checklist right now. We were compelled, because of the expertise required, to go out to the community, and I referenced that earlier, that we're very fortunate. We even have some folks in-house that are part of our professional team helping us advance this project. A lot of details. We actually have a limited environmental impact study that has to be performed because we do have a wetlands over there. We're doing our most not to disturb that. There's a traffic study. There's a noise study that's linked to that. So there's this litany, if you will, of studies that need to be completed. We're in the process right now. We're working quickly to move through that checklist so we can have a submittal next year before the county, and that leads to the grading permit.
Yeah, so Chuck, you can see on here that the hope is that by the first quarter of next year, we've completely submitted the package.
Right. Yeah, okay. We're working on that. We should have it done by maybe the end of March, hopefully at that point.
Okay.
And then we get the building permit and we can break ground. What a wonderful celebration on July the 1st to come out here and see the big bulldozers cutting into the ground.
Yeah, that's great.
And the other part is we could have this thing done in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. We could take 1 year to build it. If we hand out shovels and we all start going out there, just one.
We do need a little bit more funding, and we're looking around for where we can get additional support as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. I want to thank you publicly for all the work you're doing on this. Let's give them a hand. And God is certainly moving in that direction. And as you want to continue to pray for the All In and Grace Park, here's some prayer requests. We're just needing that the submittals go smoothly. We are praying that we don't have to do too much utility work on Bell Road because that's expensive. And we are trying to put a restroom out there, and to hook up that is a little bit complicated. We need to pray for more partners. You know, every year here at this event, we have a Thanksgiving offering. Now, before you get worried about that, let me give you the history of it. When we first started the Thanksgiving dinner, we wanted to have a big dinner like this for everybody just to thank the Lord, but we didn't have the ability to do it. So we put something together the first year in 2005, and we just asked people, can you bring your spatulas and your spoons? Yeah, because we need to prepare food. So the first offering was spatulas and spoons, and maybe some plates and a table. And then the next year it was like a stove for the kitchen. And then the next year it was a refrigerator for the kitchen. And every year, we've been doing this for 17 years. Every year the offering is going to a project. We would give to a missionary. We would give to Acres of Hope here in town. The last couple of years, we decided that whatever comes in between now, this event and the end of the year, we're putting toward this. And I want you to be encouraged because God is doing great things to provide for this. He's going to provide some grants that we're working on. He's going to provide us some resources, some donations. Some people are volunteering key parts that are expensive, and they're doing it on behalf. So God is doing some great things. This year, in 2022, we haven't taken an offering for Grace Park. When we met in May on the property under the tent, we just explained an update and encouraged people to pray about it. We have some boxes here if you want to give to Grace Park. Somebody in our church donated a matching grant of $100,000. That can come in between now and the end of the year. That'd be a wonderful blessing to it. But we definitely wanted our church to never be about money. But we wanted to give you an update today that God is providing. And we're so excited that we really believe as soon as the Lord opens the door for us to start the build, He's going to provide for us in what we need. So I just want to say thank you to those that have participated. I want to say a special thank you to what we call our strategic partners. And you know who you are because you've signed up to be a strategic partner. We were praying during this three-year period we'd have 100 strategic partners, and I think we're up to 148. These are families or businesses that have agreed to pray, that have agreed to give and donate as they have the ability to volunteer in certain ways. And we couldn't have done it without our strategic partners. And so if you're one of them, we want to say thank you to it. But that's an update. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's thank Him for what He's done. Let's stand together. We have one more song to sing of gratitude. And then Pastor Dave is going to come, and he's going to lead us in how we can get some food to share a meal together.